Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we continue along. It's hour number two. Thanks for joining us. Again, more from the NFL, but we're really focusing on the Final Four this week here in Houston, where San Diego State and Florida Atlantic will be the first game out of the gate, and then UConn and Miami will be game number two on Saturday, and of course the national championship coming up on Monday. And we were talking about this earlier. Is this now a new world for college basketball where you might see some schools in conferences that don't produce a lot of teams in the tournament and getting advancing? We saw so many upsets in this tournament. Well, as I said in hour one, I think, you know, UConn plays in the Big East. They put a lot of teams in this tournament. The ACC is where Miami is. They put a lot of teams in. Yep, Florida Atlantic only had one. And Utah State and San Diego State, and I think Nevada, too, were the teams out of the Mountain West. Is there a new world for college basketball? I'll wait and see. But I do know this. I think that now that you're having these programs that are able to tap into the transfer portal in a certain way, but at the same time, keep guys in a certain program is going to benefit. One of the things that I've been noticing over the last two years where the transfer portal really popped was how many players, almost as soon as the season ends, big-time players announcing their intentions of getting into the portal. Now, when a player announces that they're going to the portal, it doesn't mean they're leaving. It just means they're exploring their options. They could come right back if the option is there, you know, for example. So you have players like Shavier Wheeler, who played 2 years at Kentucky after 2 years at Georgia, but he knows the landscape. John Calipari is bringing in some really top players. DJ Wagner is one of them. I think there's Dillingham is another one that's coming in. Playmaking guards. You look at the landscape of where you're at. You look and say, well, I want to play. Where do I want to play? NIL is another big concern. So players now become names, right? They become sort of known commodities. Can they get something else in another location? Can they be just as effective at another school with other NIL opportunities? That's really the new world of college athletics. And if we're just focusing on college basketball. Did that have anything to do with what we saw in this tournament? No, it didn't. It didn't. But that's where you're going to see most of the impact is as schools start to become, like, if I'm a coach and I know I have a team that I can keep, do I get a team that is more senior-laden, and can I pull off more of these kind of upsets? I think that's the more or less where college basketball is going to find its success. But is it refreshing? Yeah, it's really refreshing to see a school like San Diego State that's been around a while, like popping up every now and then. This is a good team. You don't want to play them. And then they finally were able to break through and get in. Florida Atlantic, I had no idea who the coach was before the season started. I had no idea where what the team was doing throughout the year. Conference USA basketball just isn't on the big radar. But as they did get closer to tournament time, you start paying attention to some schools that had really good seasons, and they had a really good season. But I thought they'd lose to Memphis in the first round because I just watched what Memphis was doing in the AAC. So, again, we're going to see more upsets. I think the more that you have 16s winning, now you've had two in the last 5 years, you're going to see that a few more times. I don't think it's going to be an epidemic. I think if you're a one seed, I think you're still going to win these games. And remember, too, Alabama beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi by 20 points, right? I mean, Brandon Miller didn't even score. Like, there are going to be these lopsided. Let's not pretend like all these games are going to be down to the wire.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we pointed out too, but I don't know if Purdue was the number one.
No, that's exactly.
And I think we are going to see more 16s over ones. But when it comes to filling out my bracket, still not going to choose it.
Sure. I mean, look at the way we looked at the number ones at the beginning at the tournament when we had Selection Sunday, right? Oh, look at Alabama. They not only have Brandon Miller, but they've got all these other guys that contribute and score. Holy cow. Then look at Kansas. Oh, my goodness. They got Jalen Wilson. He's one of the top players. And then you look at the other one, Houston. Number one almost all season.
Yeah.
Marcus Sasser. And then there was Purdue. And they had Zach Edey. But what was everybody saying as soon as that's the most vulnerable number one we've got in the tournament, right? That instead of highlighting all the awesome things that make you a number one seed, the first thing people pointed to was how vulnerable they were. They weren't fairly Dickinson
in fact,
vulnerable.
A lot of people thought it was going to be Texas.
Right.
Was going to be that number one.
That number one, right. Because they were getting Timmy Allen back and they won the Big 12. They won the Big 12 without him, right? So that was.
Which, it's not, I mean, we got to say, it's not the new norm.
No.
You know, but we are, I think we will start to see 16s beating ones. We're starting to see 15s beating two all the time now.
Right, sure.
And I think that's, and it has a lot to do with, you know, maybe the transfer portal. Everyone's allowed to, you're allowed to move freely. But these smaller schools have seniors.
That's the key to me is that they don't have a rotating.
Older. Yeah,
they're not rotating a lineup.
They have someone who's bought into the program for 4 years now.
You're right.
That's going to make a huge difference if you have a good coach.
If look at Furman. Furman had that. Furman was loaded with seniors who committed to sticking around the program and learning exactly how to gel with one another. It's one of the reasons people are pointing to John Calipari not being able to win another title with every single All-American that he can possibly get at Lexington is that there's the cohesiveness just isn't quite there. But he's getting guys to stay longer. I've noticed that about Calipari. He's not throwing out four freshmen that are leaving in the NBA. He's keeping guys a little longer, but they still can't produce longstanding.
Now, I mean, he's probably the only coach that could adapt. Because now with NIL, there's a way for him to keep him longer.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you know, before that, they were like one and done because, like, hey, we're just here because we have to be.
We have to be.
And then we're getting our money. We're getting paid.
Now you've got, like, players making deals with the local Porsche dealership.
Exactly.
Saying, okay, all right. We got money.
Maybe I'm not making millions and millions of dollars, but I got a Porsche. I got plenty of cash to walk around here.
And especially if I'm being told by my people, agent, whatnot, that the draft board isn't as kind to me as I might have thought.
Yeah.
It makes it easier to go, well, I'll just stay another year at Kentucky.
Yep.
Right?
Some European just came in and took your spot. Wait till next year.
Right. And they're allowing these kids to get evaluated and come back and play college ball, which is what they should have done all along. I've said this many times on this show. I think there's a generation that's coming that's going to look back at what the NCAA did to its student athletes and just hang their head and ask us how we put up with that as a sports community, right? How did you let kids say, I'm going to declare for the draft, and that declaration alone made them not eligible to play college basketball?
Right.
Like, how in the world did we allow this to take place in the world of college athletics? So a kid goes, I want to declare for the NBA draft. Now he's done. Can't play college anymore. All done. And then he goes to the draft, and they go, yeah, you're this, this, and this needs some work. So now he's got to go to the Philippines and play basketball. He's got to go to Greece, or he's got to go to Brazil and play basketball.
Yeah, it was worse than football.
Exactly.
There's no place for him to go.
No place for them to go.
That is funny. We automatically, because, you know, if you and I said, you know, we're going to take a semester off.
Right.
And then decided, you know, during the summer, we decided, you know what? I think I want to come back to school.
Yeah, exactly.
You're allowed to come back to school.
It was an institution that was never challenged until it finally was. We just went, there's nothing we can do. Yeah. Nothing we can do.
Them's the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Would love to give these kids a little walk around money, but there's no institution in the United States that will ever allow me to do that. Until they finally said, yeah, the Supreme Court will let you do that.
And I love how they went about it, too.
Right.
It was like all of a sudden, it's like, well, you're making money off of me. Why can't I make money off of
Right, exactly.
And like went the roundabout way, just saying, you know what? This is like a indentured servitude.
Shouldn't the Ed Henderson case shouldn't that have been decided in the 40s?
Yeah.
Right? Shouldn't somebody from Notre Dame football back in the day, like somebody maybe even from the Four Horsemen of the 20s, been like, I can't make $3 on my name, image, and likeness.
But you guys just made 15.
Yeah, but you guys made 15. You guys are selling my football tickets for a nickel. I don't get a penny of that. And he meant it, right? Seriously, we just accepted it. And then finally they went, no.
Oh, we passed it off. Yeah. Well, you're getting a free education.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're getting a free education. And it's just this machine that I remember when I worked with Joel Klatt in Denver. He used to be, this was in 2010. And he would be almost all the time like, this is, I played, this is insane. Why aren't we paying these kids? Blah, blah. And here's the thing, and this is another point. They're still not paying the kids.
No.
Let's make that clear. No, they're still not paying them.
What was it I read? That they are about to be classified as paid employees of the university, even though the university still isn't giving them money.
Right, right.
I think it's the kind of, I guess in a way, like a backwards way to help them out. Or
a little bit, yeah, exactly.
Something, but it's like the university's still not giving you any. They're still not getting money from ticket sales.
No, they still don't.
And I don't think they ever will.
No, I don't think so either. But when I told you about that Tana, what was the kid's name? Steve Tannehill, the quarterback at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Where the school was selling hats with his signature ponytail on the back of it, because that's how he wore his Gamecock hat when he was on the sidelines. He had long hair. He put it in a ponytail through the hat. They were selling hats with that attachment to it. And he's like, okay, hold on. I get it if you sell my number and you claim it's – no, this is George Smith from 1962.
Right.
I get that. If you're Johnny Manziel and you're like, okay, you want to say it's another number two at some point in the history of this – I get it. But when you're selling a ponytail hat that's my signature look and I'm not getting a nickel – that's unfortunately
it's a
red I can't.
Flag.
That can't. We can't. Nah, that's not working. That's not working. All right. Good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next. We'll get back to the NFL news. There's people buzzing this morning about what exactly was the situation with Lamar Jackson's tweets from yesterday. Are the Patriots really in the running for him? They seem to like Mac Jones, or is that just a smokescreen? We got that for you coming up this hour as well. Again, good, the bad, and the dumb next. Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
This is good. This is the first time we've done the good, the bad, and the dumb in the same building. That's a good, I would think, but it may not be the good of the day. What's the good of the day?
The good of the day, I mean, very well could be doing this face-to-face.
Sure. This is pretty cool.
But the real good, because I love these stories, is that Ken Griffey Jr. is going to be the third highest-paid player on the Reds roster this year.
Yeah. All right. Give me the details on this, because I saw it pop up, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
So he is set to make, I think it's about $3.5 million this year. So obviously the Reds are big spenders.
Yeah.
But I believe it's Joey Votto and somebody else, because it's the Reds. Sorry if I'm alienating Cincinnati right
They're
now.
They're in a very, very rebuilding mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so because of all that, Ken Griffey Jr., third highest played player on the
Reds
roster.
That's fantastic.
I love these type of stories.
Yeah, that's
great. I don't know if none of these will ever have that same feeling of Bobby Bonilla.
No, but at the same time, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, Griffey's making more than Bobby.
Yeah.
But we'll celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day because
that's
just so much fun because of the whole history behind it.
Yeah, you're right. Joey Votto's the only one really there.
He had
rotator cuff surgery, so he's on the IL.
So bring Griffey back.
And that's the first time in 14 years he has not been on the opening day roster for the Reds.
Yeah.
So good for, not good for Joey Votto, but that's a nice accomplishment. It's too bad he can't be part of it Thursday.
Will Myers is the other one.
Will Myers, okay. Didn't Will Myers, where did he play? San Diego? Then
I think so.
They emerged in San Diego.
Yeah, I think he was with the Padres for a while. But it brings me up to another one, too. I saw this tweet the other day, and I absolutely loved it. And it was, which athlete? Hold on. Got to find the right one. Which athlete's career, if there were no injuries, career would you want to see?
Oh, okay.
And, he gave out a little list. He was like Derrick Rose.
Right.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson, especially.
Tiger Woods, Ken Griffey Jr., Grant Hill.
Those are good.
And put in your own thing. And I sat back and I was like, I think I would lean more towards Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, I do too, because I would love to have known what the final statistics would have been.
When he got to the Reds, it went all downhill for him. He didn't play an entire season once, right?
I know. I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
Bo Jackson, I think we saw the ability, but I mean, again, it's like, we see running backs. He was a special player.
I've always wondered how long Bo Jackson would have done that.
Yeah.
You're right. If you waved a magic wand and you said, no injuries, you're never going to get hurt. You're never going to suffer career-ending anything. Eventually, would he go, I ain't doing this anymore. I'm staying with one and that's it. I'm done. How long would he really
go
do
back
that?
And forth?
Yeah. Because that's a lot of work.
And then he missed. He always finished the baseball season, then went.
Then went.
We always had that question. I mean, thankfully, he never came across it. But what happened if the Royals did make a postseason?
Right. Exactly. But Tiger Woods is a very interesting one.
Is it the
Remember, 2009, he lost to Y.E. Yang in the PGA Championship when he had the lead. It was the first time he had lost a lead in a major. And then that winter, or that Thanksgiving, he had that problem with Elin. And it wasn't really until later that he had the injuries, but then he just didn't win.
Yeah.
He just wasn't winning again.
Couldn't activate his glutes.
Was going to the sex therapy thing and all that.
That was the thing. Remember, he won at Torrey Pines with a broken leg.
That's right, yeah.
And there was something exciting about this. Like, you're otherworldly. You're superhuman winning on a broken leg.
Then he did miss the two majors that year.
Yeah.
And then next year came back. But, yeah, if you said Tiger had nothing, I think he would have won 30 major championships,
Probably. Right?
I mean, goodness gracious.
But I am curious about Ken Griffey Jr.
Me too. Ken Griffey Jr. Was another one, really.
I mean, just probably the sweetest swing of all. How many home runs would you have finished off with? Because, I mean, it's amazing to me that he had 600.
It is.
Like, close to 650.
It is. Yeah. I got to find the final number on that one, because you're right. It was a lot, but he didn't.
Probably got around 800.
Yeah.
Considering how many games he missed.
All right. What's the bat of the day?
Bat of the day. This is exactly, I guess, what we all expect. Andy Reid was asked a very important question.
Uh-huh.
So here you go.
What did you think of Jordan Love in that quarter? One by up in the game that he played against you, what was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it because of COVID.
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, I thought he was good.
No, you don't remember. You don't remember. You're just being nice.
Yep.
Jordan
Love.
You're just being kind.
Who was that again? Oh, the Packers quarterback.
I thought he was good.
Yeah, I thought he was good. From what I remember, he was decent.
Don't you think this is why Jordan Love, you go, get Aaron Rodgers out of my life right now.
I mean, there's never a more clear statement.
I get drafted by you, and my career is in the tank because I can't get rid of this guy.
The Super Bowl quarterback or Super Bowl head coach, the Super Bowl winning head coach, doesn't know who I am.
Doesn't know who I am. Has no idea who I am.
Yep.
I'm an NFL employee, and he has no idea who I am. When I was a first-round pick and you 3 years ago, and I can't get anybody to know who I am.
If he came into the studio right now, sat down, threw on a pair of headphones, and said, let's talk. I mean, how long do you think you would – how many questions do you think you'd have to get through to kind of navigate, like, who are you?
Right, exactly. I would need ID. I would have, please.
You'd have to play 20 questions with him. Are you an athlete?
So, okay. Mr. Stranger, are you a professional athlete? I am. Do you play football by any chance? And I mean the American version of football. Yes. Play for a cold weather city or a warm weather city? That's exactly right. I'd have to go down that road.
You have to keep going all the way down. And then maybe you'd get it, because would Jordan Love be on the tip of your tongue? No.
Would the real Jordan Love please stand up? Oh, that has to be devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating. God. That's so... I'm just trying to process what that must be like to be him watching rookie quarterbacks get known, watching Brock Purdy become a star.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't get, I'm on the wrong team.
People don't even know who I am.
My circumstances, I'm behind this quarterback that's never given me a sunshine look.
I'll give it up to Barstool with this one. That they dissected the coach's photo.
Yeah,
with each picture, and when they finally got to head coach of the Packers.
Oh, Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur. So I'm about to call him Peter. I want to call him Peter. Peter LaFleur. not only was he throwing a dodgeball, no, but it said it just you know, it was like the picture he was given, the smile he was given, like they were giving him all superlatives. And it was like the guy who does not have to deal with him anymore.
Yeah, you know, yeah, right.
Something
yeah.
along those lines.
It was exactly.
Like, yeah. Oh. I mean, that's got to be a good feeling.
That you know what? How many of us have been with places where there's somebody that leaves and you go, this is going to be a – I am yeah. so looking forward to going to work on Monday.
Yep.
Right? They left on their own or they left not on their own. It doesn't matter. As long as when I walk in that building, they ain't there anymore.
Exactly. You don't have to answer those questions.
Oh, goodness
anymore.
Gracious. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is the Ump Show returned. I don't know if you've seen the video, but
no.
JT Realmuto was thrown out of a game.
I saw this, but I didn't get the explanation.
So,
what was the explanation?
So this is what happened. The umpire threw the ball back to the pitcher, but JT didn't know that, so he stuck his glove back to receive a ball. The umpire went to put the ball into JT's glove, but right as he was about to put it, JT had kept his glove there, maybe not long enough.
Right.
Put his glove down because he saw that, you know, the pitcher had the ball.
Right.
And then because of that, the umpire dropped the ball into the glove, but he thought it was like, you know, being a smart ass and moved his glove away. Promptly threw him out.
Now, was he throwing him out because he was like, this is a delay of game that's giving your pitcher more time to breathe? Or did he say, it's hot, I'm having a bad day, my wife is yelling at me, and my kids disrespect me at home.
They don't want me to
I'm here trying to earn a living for her spending habits, and I'm tired and exhausted. You're out of here.
Yeah. I think it's that.
Is that that?
I think it's that.
Because it sounds like to me that's easily rectifiable. Like where JT Realmuto goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't. I really didn't know. I'm so sorry.
He looked
sorry.
At his face. He looked like he turned around and went, What did I do?
Okay, do you really need – we now have to go get a catcher. He's got to get his gear on now, and we're just going to wait for this to happen when I could just apologize to you and we could just continue playing baseball?
Or we could just laugh it off?
Oh, we could just laugh it off and have a beer later?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, oh, I was like this, and then I move my glove, and you say, here, I'll pick up. Here you go, sir. It was so prompt. I'm hoping that there was something beforehand. I haven't seen anything where it's like maybe they were kind of lipping off
maybe
to one
so.
Each other
yeah,
beforehand.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about that.
If that might have popped into the story if that happened. But, yeah. I could imagine. Oh, dude, I'm so sorry, man. My bad.
Yeah.
Good, stay in the game. Let's get moving.
Pick the ball up and hand it back to him.
Let's get the hell out of here. It's spring training. The season starts in 3 days.
Yeah.
Oh,
at the Boca.
Yeah, let's get out of here. All right. It's Good, the Bad, and the Dumb as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. Sportsmap Radio, it's Wake Up Call. Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. You know what's the joy of modern technology, by the way? Is that I just got a notification on my phone that my daughter is absent from school today.
What?
Now, I'm sure there's a very good reason that she's absent from school today. But I get these messages.
Is it last minute shopping?
But here, yeah,
for her upcoming trip.
I don't know. But here's the thing: not only did I get a text during the show with my phone silent, I also got a phone call from the school that said she wasn't there. Kids can't she's not skipping school, but you can't skip school now.
Here's the thing: no, you can't because you know you get the phone call. Technology is a blessing and a curse.
It is.
Because the thing I can't stand, and my wife and I have been having issues with this lately with our kids since they both, you know, the older two have phones, is that they'll text us like, hey, can you come pick me up?
Yeah.
I'm tired today. Can you come pick me up from school?
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
No.
Right. No. No.
No.
No. Maybe you have to go to the nurse's office and fake a fever.
I'm like, if you do that, then I'll come pick you up.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to work that way. But, you know, some of my friends are getting picked up by their parents. I don't care.
By the way, when I was younger, I used to go to the doctor's office. I used to go to the nurse's office all the time for headaches. Right? Headaches. I used to have headaches.
Yeah.
And everyone thought I was faking to get out of school. Everyone thought, oh, there's something wrong. He's afraid of a teacher or whatever it is. Or I was a kid. I needed glasses. They found out later I needed glasses. Like, for some reason, I was passing all of my eye tests, and then finally they went to the eye doctor and went, he can't see. Like, he can't see the board. So I was like, yeah,
eye strain, not headaches.
But then later on, I was faking the headaches to get out of school. That's how I did it.
Yep.
We all do it. But now,
oh, yeah.
We all did it. But now they're you're right. They're texting now. And
it's just funny to me. It's like, you know, when I got dropped off at school, there was no way for me to get in touch with anyone.
No. No.
You know, until I
that's it.
Either was picked up by a parent. Even when, you know, if we had a doctor's appointment, I had braces when I was in junior high. So you'd have to go and get the, braces tightened up. My mom would have to pick me up from school early sometimes because, you know, where the appointment lies. I had no idea. It wasn't like I could meet her somewhere or she could text me and go, hey, I'm going to be there in 5 minutes. Get your stuff together.
Yeah, right. No.
No, it would be somebody coming by, bringing a note or, you know, over the intercom type of thing and saying, hey, you know, someone's. Ron, you got to go.
Yeah.
And then I would sit there and I'd have to pack my stuff up and, you know, get permission from the teacher. Like, I got an orthodontist appointment. Sorry.
Crazy. I just can't believe this.
Nowadays, like, you go to school and it's like, oh, did you text your son or daughter already? Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I texted. I let them know that I'm here.
I'm trying to keep up with all of it. It's impossible. It's impossible, I say. My goodness. So we talked about Lamar Jackson earlier this morning and said, all right, listen, he sends out this tweet and he goes, I wanted to be traded. And the Ravens are like, no, he traded. Oh, that funny Lamar Jackson. Oh, no. He'll be a Raven and he'll be happy because he's happy. He's going to love it. Don't you? And everybody slow down. Lamar Jackson will be fine. All right. So now it opens up with, all right, well, if he wants to be traded, who's going to make a run for Lamar Jackson? Now, as we talked about earlier, somebody's going to have to make an offer to Lamar Jackson that is risky because of a couple of reasons. One, because he's on that non-exclusive franchise tag, that offer can be matched within 5 days by Baltimore. And Baltimore would get two first-round picks. So if you're a team and you want to negotiate with Lamar Jackson, or if you want to negotiate with the Ravens to trade Lamar Jackson, it's going to cost you, one, a huge contract, and two, it's going to cost you picks if they went the traditional route of, hey, this is how we're going to do it. If you want Lamar Jackson, make an offer to him that we won't match and we'll take two first-round picks. It's led to the New England Patriots. And would the New England Patriots be interested in Lamar Jackson? Or more importantly, would Bill Belichick be interested in Lamar Jackson? Well, I'm going to ask this question because we've seen the Patriots since Tom Brady has left. They made one appearance in the playoffs with Mac Jones in his rookie year, to which they were not only blown out by Buffalo, Buffalo's offense pitched a perfect game with no punts, no field goals, 7 touchdowns, perfect offensive performance against a world-class defensive mind. They did not go to the playoffs last year. So I think in 3 seasons, they've only been to the playoffs one time. He's now looking at a division that Josh Allen, right, could be Aaron Rodgers, in all likelihood, Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins, which have built around him really strong.
Or Mike White.
Or Mike White, who we love.
Yep.
If you're Bill Belichick, do you swallow your pride and go, you know what? I normally don't do this. I found Tom Brady with that 6th-round pick, that 199th pick. Mac Jones is a guy we are standing behind. Or does he go, yeah, screw it. I'll make a deal. I just need a quarterback. I'll take an MVP.
Yeah,
I'll take a quarterback. Does he do it? Or does he go, I'm doing it my way or no way, and if you don't like my way, then fire me and you won't.
Well, I would have said he would be like that, but this was a guy who did take Cam Newton.
Yep, he did try Cam Newton. Did try that out. That's very true.
You know, so I wouldn't put it past him to go for a former MVP quarterback.
It just feels like he's not the coach or they're not the team that's going to go, fine, $275 million.
And, nah, that part, I mean? Yeah, that part's hard to swallow because he's always said, you know, I'm going to pay you what I'm going to pay you. You're going to like it.
Yeah, you're going to like it. But it's when the currency was, you can take less money and win a Super Bowl because we certainly win a bunch from here. But now he doesn't have that.
How about this? Would Lamar do 2 years... say 2 years, like $90 million, fully guaranteed.
Good question. I think you still want the
Oh, I don't know. I'm saying that, but I mean,
well, would he do it to just get at least something?
Yeah.
Yeah, get something.
Get something down, so now he's playing under a contract. If he gets hurt, he's still getting paid.
Yeah, and then two years later, let's see where he is when he's 28.
Yeah.
Right? That's interesting. Yeah.
I know. I mean, I would.
That might be something.
26, you're definitely going to get a lot more money than you are when you're 28.
The thing about the Patriots is you are every day, tick, 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 you are starting to lose relevancy in a conference you dominated for 20 years. You already have gotten to that point. But even now, even with the Patriots, it was sort of like, well, Mac Jones' sophomore season. Let's see. You never know.
Yeah.
Right? But then it didn't happen. Then they said, oh, no, we tried different things that didn't work. That's what Robert Kraft said yesterday. We tried a number of things didn't work, but we believe in Mac Jones. Well, we'll see, because if somebody's dangling a former MVP, one of the better quarterbacks in the league, not the best, but one of the better ones, do you bite knowing, God, this conference ain't going backwards? Like, this conference has got not only established people, but I'm a little nervous about the ones that are starting to get established. That's when the conference becomes really hairy. The division alone is impossible if Aaron Rodgers is there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the division alone is going to be a mess.
Yep.
And if you're the Patriots and you're waiting on the third year to develop Mac Jones.
You know, when you look at the conference, I mean, it's one of those situations you got to be in the top seven.
Right. That's it.
That's going to be impossible.
It's going to be really hard.
I mean, we can look at it and say, like, let's look at seven starting quarterbacks in the AFC right now.
When there's three in your own division that could be better than you?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. How can you sell me, if you're the Patriots, and I'm a Patriot fan, let's say I'm a Patriot fan, how do you sell me the third year of Mac Jones when I'm almost nibbling at the apple of Bailey Zappi?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I just saw this kid from Western Kentucky, and I actually kind of liked him.
Hey, works.
Right? And I thought, this guy's actually pretty good.
He's marketable.
Right?
And lot more marketable than Mac Jones.
And then all of a sudden you put Mac Jones back in there, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, at least we got two young quarterbacks to develop, and now you're selling me Mac Jones again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, the third year is where the proof of that is going to be in the pudding. But, look, if you're going to try to get Bill Belichick to comment on Jackson, he's not. Like, that's not going to happen. But Robert Kraft might go, well, Meek Mill told me that Jackson's interested. I think if you're Robert Kraft, though, you go to Bill Belichick and then you say, listen, what you did for this franchise is unprecedented. We went from nothing to one of the greatest franchises in all of sports.
You went from laughingstock. You and I growing up, they were on the same level as, you know, how we look at the Browns right now, how we look at the Commanders, the Falcons. I'm naming all the doormat teams that we love to pick on and make fun of.
It's like before you arrived, we went to two Super Bowls, got blown out and won by the Bears, and then when we lost to Green Bay, the big story was our coach leaving the second the Super Bowl was over.
Yeah.
Like, that was the story. So you come in and you take this franchise, and not only do you get us Super Bowls, you provided us one of the greatest players in the history of the sport in believing in him enough to play him and believing in him enough to stick with him when I just gave a whirlwind of money to Drew Bledsoe. But I do need to see us back around this league again. Like, I'm not taking 5, 6, 7, 8 years off.
And can't stand it that, you know, Buffalo is doing what they're doing, or Miami's doing what they're doing.
They're building a new stadium in Buffalo. Like, who told them they could be good at this? All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
And broadcasting from Houston for the Final Four this week. This is my first time in the network studios in 10 years with the company. But I did notice that got a little Comedy Central going on in here.
Yeah, sometimes you got to put it on.
A little bit. I've obviously got the sports channels on. But
I think that's a lot of times that's our overnight guy.
Just want to watch a little Brooklyn Nine-Nine
in the
mid-morning. That's pretty awesome.
I think overnight, weekends.
Yeah.
You kind of get a little long. It's like you need to put something on to keep you awake.
I remember my first overnight job in radio in the 90s. Me and the overnight disc jockey would watch Jerry Springer. back in the day. Just sit down in the newsroom and watch Jerry Springer. He used to just set the music up before he'd have to go do his break. Yeah. And then I was just running a reel-to-reel that was a whole hour, and I would go change the stuff before I had news feeds coming in. And we just – that was the old days when radio was monitored. You had to have somebody on site all the time, no matter what place in America you were.
Right.
Middle of nowhere, Kansas, you had to have somebody there 24 hours. And we would watch Jerry Springer all night. Just watch Jerry Springer and stuff that was coming on in the overnight. That was fun. I learned some tricks that I didn't like. He knew how to rig the vending machine to get stuff.
Like he could go the real genius way.
Yeah, where... he had like a little attachment that he made that he could trigger the pay click that allows you to make the choice and it would come down. He had this little attachment.
Just robbing the company.
But he's like, I can't do it very often, you know. But every now and then I'll just grab some chips. I'm like, you spend more time devising that thing than if you just went and got change from the store or whatever.
But you never have change.
No. But he also – he was a kind of a legendary disc jockey in our town. And he was pretty popular. And he had a few girlfriends. He was an older guy, but
yeah.
I was young. And his nickname for me was T-Rock. And I don't know why he said that. But he goes, T-Rock. He would come to me and go, hey, T-Rock, come here for a second. Like, hey, you want to learn how to run the? I'm like, yeah, sure. He goes, yeah, just when that song ends, just kind of fade that up and hit start. And he goes, it's countdown right here. It's fine. And then he'd go hang out with one of his girlfriends while I thought he was really teaching me something, but it really was just basically me doing his work, so he could go overnight flinging with whoever was his latest squeeze.
You mean he didn't bring him back to the studio?
To me, he was Dr. Johnny Fever, man. He was the guy when I was a kid, like a young kid, we would listen to at night. And it was like when I'd hear stories about people listening to Wolfman Jack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that was our Wolfman Jack, but he was local. He was a big radio celebrity. And I was working with him at 21 years old. Thinking I was learning this stuff, and I was really just a pawn in his game.
Yep. I'll be back around 3, Tony.
Yeah, exactly. So
T-Rock.
Very, very nice setup. So it's very, very cool to be here. I had the Uber driver last night. She was telling me all about the Astros and how Houston Cougars lost. You know, like I was told her what I was here for.
There are two teams in this city.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
I know. Apparently so. She was very excited to tell me all her thoughts on the Astros because I told her what I was here for. And she told me all about Houston and how Kelvin Sampson was mad at his team. And then the Astros. And she was telling me about the parade. She said, oh. She goes, I had a woman in my car. We couldn't move. The parade, everyone was screaming and hollering. I had this woman to get. She had to get from point A to over here, and I couldn't get her there because it was stuck in traffic with everybody honking their horn and jumping up and down and getting out of their car screaming. And she was just explaining how the World Series, the Astros, just the celebration was all around the city. She's very enthusiastically telling me how great it was. So that was fun.
That's why I said there's two teams right here, right in Houston right now.
Yeah.
Maybe a third if you want to include the Dynamo.
So are the Dynamo playing well?
I think it's just, you know, everyone just kind of likes the Dynamo because there's not real expectations for them yet.
So you got opening day
next Thursday.
So here's a Houston type of month in April. You got the Final Four.
Yep.
You've got the draft with this number 2 pick and the Astros. We'll get rolling along with their season. There you go.
April's a big month.
April is a cool month. The Masters also as well. Did you hear what Gary Player said about the Masters, by the way?
That it's his, what was it?
His fourth favorite
tournament?
So I got a question about that. So Gary Player famously said once, years and years ago, if there's a golf course in heaven, I hope one day I am to head pro. Because he's talking about Augusta.
Yeah.
He's saying, this is the course. This is heaven. This is the course. But he then said, well, if I had to pick the majors, the Open's number one. And that's not a surprise. A lot of European players, or he's from South Africa, a lot of players outside the United States pick the British Open as the number one. It's the oldest championship, and it's the world championship.
Right.
But then he said the U.S. Open was two, and then he said the PGA was third over the Masters?
Now, what does the PGA have?
That's what I wanted to ask him. What does the PGA have over Augusta National?
Or maybe he's just tired of Augusta?
Well, that's what I was getting to. Because remember when his son flashed that box of golf balls during the opening ceremony picture a couple of years ago? Well, Gary Player was backing a golf ball company. And when they were doing they were doing the shot a couple of years ago. It wasn't that long ago. A couple of years ago, they were doing the photograph of the legends of the at the time. And Gary Player was in it. They took the picture. And while he took the picture, the son held up the golf ball. So Augusta, instead of saying, let's reshoot the picture and don't do that, please, they banned his son for life. They said you could never come back, ever. And I wonder if Gary Player went, you know, I used to love this place, and now I hate it so much I put it behind the PGA Championship. I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
I mean, it's kind of funny, right?
How can you pick... I'm sorry.
That's why I said that's the PGA Championship. Is there something about that tournament? What sets that tournament up as anything else? Anyways?
Right. Exactly.
Is it a longer course? Is it because we all know the Open's the Open.
Right. I get it.
And the U.S. Open is the one that always has. It's probably the toughest.
It's the toughest one. It's set up where even par is supposed to win this thing. And
if you have grass, if you have high grass, tall grass, it's one of those types where you ain't ever find your ball.
Yeah, you chip out to the fairway, that kind of thing. Right. It's supposed to be brutal, just a brutal test.
Exactly. So that's why and Augusta's Augusta. It's the only one that's held there every single year.
There was one golfer that said, so when you get an invite to Augusta, right? So the moment you qualify for the Masters, you can go to Augusta for a practice round anytime that the course is open. And the course is actually shut down in the summertime. But when the course is available for play, you can arrive anytime you want and play at Augusta. So if you win the U.S. Amateur and you're a college kid, you can go to Augusta on a Tuesday in January and play a practice round if you want. But there's one golfer that said, I never qualified for the Masters early in my career. I didn't qualify for the Masters. But then I was invited a number of times to play Augusta National. But I always turned those down because I wanted the first time on that course to be when I had qualified to play it. It was that revered. Now, I don't think I would have been that pro. If I was a pro and I got invited, I'd be like, when do you want me to? What time? I'll be there tomorrow. But it's a revered place. I was just a little shocked that if you want to say the U.S. Open is second, all right. But the PGA, for the love of Pete, come on.
That's what I decided to Google PGA Championship. Looking at it it used to be a match play tournament.
Yeah, it was
in the day. Now it's just a normal tournament that they moved from, August, September to
May. Yeah.
That way they didn't have to compete with football. So, I mean, it's really a nothing tournament.
Yeah.
We remember Augusta, the Phil Mickelson one.
Augusta National is so unique because it is, in its simplest form, it is basically a country club in the United States hosting a golf tournament that everybody goes to.
Right.
That's all it is. It's not associated with the USGA. It's not associated with the RNA. It's we here at Augusta are having a tournament. We're inviting you to play in it. If you show up, great. If you don't, whatever. But this is our club championship, if you will. And it's now one of the top events in the world.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, he has more Masters championships than he does PGA.
I was saying, won three times.
Yeah, PGA's won twice.
Yeah.
U.S. Open, he won once. And the Open, he won three times.
Yeah. Again, I know the claret jug is a big deal. I know that tournament matters.
No, you're not sliding that one at all. It's just, I mean, the PGA Championship, to me, I always looked at it too. It's it's a tournament.
Yeah, it's the fourth. It was the fourth one.
Fourth major because I guess they wanted to have a Mount Rushmore of majors.
Exactly. They didn't want three. But no, it's the one Jordan Spieth needs to win the career Grand Slam. That's one of my peak interests of the PGA Championship. But yeah,
where it begins and ends, right?
Exactly, exactly. So the Masters will be next week at the Valero Texas Open this week, and then next week Augusta National, where Gary Player will be at the dinner, and I'm sure they're going to ask him, so this stinks now? Is this what you're saying? This whole process isn't as important as the Wanamaker Trophy?
Will they ask him where his son is?
Yeah, maybe so. Hey, where's your son, Gary? Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. Hour 3 coming up next. We continue on Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio with Tony D and Ron Culver.